It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Do you think the world is getting better or worse? Unsurprisingly, a huge majority of people today believe the world is getting worse. Maybe this global pessimism is the result of a culture bathed in bad news, or maybe we inherently know the earth-shaking truth presented at the heart of this book. Something is deeply wrong with our planet, and we are powerless to fix it. The great controversy not only unveils the origin of human degradation, but also discloses the titanic struggle raging below the din of pandemics and peril, corruption and carnage, murder and mayhem. In this astonishing work, you will discover that evil has a face, good has a champion, and sin has an end. If you want to prepare for the end of this world and the glorious world to come, you must read this book. Join the campaign to distribute millions of copies of The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White to people in and around your communities. Contact your local church for more information or text us at +27 73 470 3520. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, it's exactly 8 minutes after two. It's time for us now to get into our daily focus, and we do have the good Pastor Munga who's joining us to give us some perspective and continuing on our daily focus this Tuesday. Pastor Munga talks to us about building bridges and not building walls. Being friends with non-believers doesn't mean you have to hide your faith or avoid spiritual topics, right? Instead, it's an opportunity to build bridges and witness through love and example. So, this session will explore how to be a beacon of light in your friendships. And that's why Pastor Munga is here to get us on the right path as to how we do that. Pastor Munga, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much, my brother. Good afternoon, and it's a pleasure to talk to you and the listeners.
So how can you be a positive witness to your non-believing friends without being overbearing?
Thank you very much. Last the other month, I think that was in July, I was coming from Kenya, and then I was seated with a lady from Japan who is not a Christian at all. And then as we moved, I was saying, now, how do I introduce this? So we talked, and then I asked her, Sarah, do you believe in God, or what do you believe in? And she mentioned, no, I believe in a lot of gods. We believe in. Then I said, have you heard about Jesus? She said, yes, I've heard about Jesus, that he was a good man. But the first thing that I did was to become a friend with this lady. And even up now, we are still friends. So you become a friend to this person, and so that even as you introduce the topic, it becomes easy. It's easy for a friend to talk to a friend than just, like you have said, become more of a bearing, very preachy, that you just drop things there. We have to become friends first, and then we treat softly.
Okay, so the step is becoming friends.
Yes, because people are often to a friend than to a stranger. And Jesus even used that method also. Remember the woman at the well? She asked for some water. But this woman went along there. She was a social outcast. But we see Jesus there building a bridge. This lady who thought that she was nothing. He is a man who can spend all the time to talk to her, answer all her questions. And finally, they became friends and she was overjoyed. Even went out there and invited people to come and see this stranger who had become her friend. The first thing there was to build a bridge. There was a gap in her life and the rest of the people, but Jesus built that bridge and she became a friend and they could talk.
So that story of Jesus at the well was a story that some people characterize as Jesus being arrogant. He says he wants some water and she says, how do you ask water for me, a Samaritan? And then Jesus says, if only you knew who you're talking to, you'd be asking water from me. That comes across as a bit of a demonstration of arrogance. And that's why I'm asking this question. What role does humility play in sharing your faith with non-believers?
No, I actually, when you look at it, I'm doing my master's in psychology. When you look at what Jesus did there was a lot of psychology there.
Okay.
In the first place, Jesus did not drink that water. So Jesus asked from that woman what he wanted to give her.
Okay.
He asked for water. Did he drink that? He didn't. But he said, the water that I can give you is more than this water that you can. And for sure, after Jesus introduced himself to her and he revealed himself, so that this was the Messiah. She forgot about that water. She was filled with excitement. In other words, now she had taken the living waters.
Right.
And off she went. So Jesus asked a favor. In actual sense, that's what she wanted to give that woman.
Right. So do tell us about then the role of humility in this attempt to witness to our friends.
Humility is very important. That means humility is the opposite of pride.
Mm.
When you put yourself down, like the Bible says, instead of going when you are saying, no, you go to this banquet hall, you go to the lowest seat.
Right.
Like Jesus, he kneels down to wash the people that he created. That is humility, servant leadership, where you go down, you offer a seat to someone. For example, if I'm older than you and then you come in the bus, then I stand up, I say, no, my brother, can you come and sit here?
Mm.
And I really mean it. That is humility. No one is comfortable to be in the presence or around a person who is proud.
Okay.
Because someone who is proud thinks he knows everything.
Right.
And at times, unfortunately, that's how at times we present ourselves as Adventists, that we know everything, we know prophecy, we know this and we know that. And it's like other people just don't know anything. They just have to fall in and follow whatever we tell them. So humility plays a very critical role when we are talking about making friends so that we can win them for Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So just give us a practical example of how actions and our lifestyle can speak louder than our words in our attempt to witness to our non-believing friends.
We have got a lot of examples in the Bible where actions speak louder than words.
Mm.
Let me talk about Abraham and Paul. Abraham and Lot in chapter 13. Abraham was given that land, but when there was a difference between their workers, their headsmen, Abraham said, no, I'm giving you an opportunity. Choose where you want to go.
Mm.
And when you choose where you want to go, me, I'll take the other path that you not.
Right.
And we see Lot choosing what he wanted, and Abraham choosing what remained. He put the young man first instead of him taking the first priority.
Mm.
They talk about Abraham also in the same book in Genesis chapter 14, where he goes to rescue this same Lot. Then he goes with the neighbors. The Bible mentions there that he did not only go with his servants, but he also went with the neighbors, non-believers.
Okay.
He mingled with them freely. They were his friends. And when he went to rescue Lot, he invited even these people. That means Abraham interacted well with these people. He was the richest man, but he did not present himself a very superior person. And no wonder he could mobilize these people to such a function. And then they come even to his aid freely. And thinking we pick a lesson from there.
Okay. So how do you ensure that your friendship with a non-believer doesn't lead you away from your own faith?
It is important that we always establish boundaries.
Hmm.
I can do this up to this much. Beyond this, you can't. Like it was with I've got a good example in Daniel chapter 3.
Mm.
Where the in the plain of Dura there was that golden statue that was put there. The three Hebrew boys went there. They left their place when there was this invitation. Everyone must go to that plain of Dura. Everyone must go to that statue that has been put there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went there with the rest. When it came to bowing down, there they could not do it. Now there should be boundaries. Yes, I can do this, I can do that, but not more than that.
Yeah.
Remember, their names had been changed. They were given pagan education. But when it came to worship, they said, this one we cannot do.
Okay.
So we need boundaries.
Okay, boundaries. Okay, that's a good point. All right, and then the final question, then Mfundisi, and I'll let you go. What are some of the ways to respectfully introduce spiritual conversations into your friendships?
We have got examples. I was looking at Acts chapter 17, where Paul is interacting with these people. They are pagans. And he says, when I was going down, I saw something written that to the unknown God. And then I was also reading some of your books, some of the books that have been written by you people. And one poet wrote this. You know, he's talking to non-Christians. And when he's not talking to non-Christians, he does not use the Bible. He used their own writings. In other words, we can find common ground.
Right.
With the people who don't believe in us. Muslims, there are a lot of good things that they believe in. There are a lot of good things that they do. You can go to a Muslim friend, tell them the good thing that they are doing. I love you because you are disciplined.
Right,
you don't eat unclean foods. You don't eat this. You don't eat this. Even if you don't even talk anything about the Bible, just commending them.
Right.
And you are doing that genuinely. Not just artificial or not. Genuinely commending them what they are doing. The corporate social responsibility, the works that they are doing here and there, the charity, all those things.
Right.
Then from there, we can now, you may not even do it in the same conversation, but you just have to establish that there is something common between you and I. Actually, we have got more in common than what divides us.
Yeah. So compliment them. Compliment what they are doing and then identify something that is common between us.
Exactly.
Okay.
And when you have done that identification, you find that what the difference has becomes so small that it becomes so easy to talk about it.
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Loud and clear. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate it. This only day two. We have three more days for you to unpack this whole idea, and hopefully we'll be able to understand a bit better at the end of the week. Pastor Pasmo Mwonga, thank you very much for your time, Mfundisi.
Thank you. You're most welcome, my brother. God bless you and God bless our listener.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.